fever is burning hot. Cause baby, you know, you're not in my arms, in my arms tonight. There'll be no fire when you kiss his lips, no sweet desire in your face.
You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station on 102.7 FM. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Tonight, this is sung by Ron Irwing. You're listening to 102.7 FM, co-op radio station, and the show that we are studying right now is called Conscious Living Radio. My name is Andrew Resmer, and I'm co-hosting this show with
Linda Christensen.
Linda, could you please introduce our first and only guest for tonight?
Yes, we will be having here with us on the air Nancy Kerner from Washington, who is going to be coming up here in the Vancouver area this coming Tuesday to give a lecture at the Rosemary Heights Retreat Center, and we'll give you the details a bit later. Nancy is co-creating an international community of inspiring women to lead, facilitate, and live in purpose, passion, and pleasure. She has 20 years of personal growth and recovery from addictions and over 17 years of relationship skills and leadership training. She uses her keen intuition to help women in their relationships with men, women, and children. Teaching relationship skills to women for over 16 years has been a primary focus for her, and she includes the use of intuition, spirituality, authenticity, and pleasure. Nancy, are you here with us?
I am. Thank you so much, Linda, and it is my deepest pleasure being here with you today.
That's wonderful. So you're going to be coming up here pretty soon, and it sounds that you do a lot of amazing things. You apparently have a holistic counseling practice for women, and you've done all kinds of retreats for women on how they can live in power, how they can be enlightened. You lead a inspiring leadership mentoring circle for women, and it sounds as though now you're wanting to also open up the discussion to include men in some of the work that you do.
That's true. That's correct. Yes, men have been asking me, Nancy, please include us in whatever you're doing. We want to be a part of it, too. We really need community. And so it's a joyous experience to sit in circles with women knee-deep in conversation and contemplation around everything that pertains to women. And to do it with the men brings such a different energy. You know, the masculine and the feminine dancing together is just exquisite. And I embrace every opportunity to come together with the men.
And it sounds that you have a lot of experience with two grown sons, four brothers, a husband that you've been with for a long time, and that these are important men that have played a key role in your life.
It's awesome. I'm really grateful for my father for helping to bring me forth into this body. Thank you, Dad. And my husband and I have been together for 31 years. We came together in a spiritual relationship, but I didn't know it at the time. And I define a spiritual relationship as two people who come together with a third entity in mind. So it's myself, my husband, and our higher purpose. And we created a beautiful log home on 5 acres that we lived on. And that's where I really discovered that nature is good for me, and I really felt grounded when I was in nature. And then we raised our two sons there while we were living off the grid, and they just thrived being outside in nature and building a house from the Douglas fir trees that they later used in a CD X-ROM file from the X-Files, that's what I'm trying to say. And so, you know, coming together in purpose gives us a focus that, you know, it takes us beyond just looking at each other, because I feel that when two people, whether it's a man and woman or a woman and woman or friends that come together to create something bigger than themselves, actually tap into the spirit of the energy of the life force that keeps us, you know, that feeling of love, you know, when we first get together, that essence that we're inspired to create from, that's what I live for, to continue to recreate that. So my husband, after 3 decades together, aren't bored by any means, and we're continually needing to recreate our vision and our dreams and our purpose together so that we don't become bored and stagnant in our relationship.
Mm. So from what I understand, this you're coming next week on Tuesday to give a talk, and the title of your talk is How to Create a Long-Term Spiritual Relationship Successfully. Is that the title of your talk?
That's correct, because so many people come to me, and I witness this with hundreds, if not thousands of people, is, you know, relationships are difficult. Long-term mm-hmm. relationships are very challenging. We have mm-hmm. children, we have, you know, jobs, and all this energy, all these energy leaks going everywhere. And then we also bring home a bunch of energy that, you know, it seems to tack on to our soul. And so if we're not really mindful about what we're focusing on within our relationship, then we're just kind of surrendering to floundering to whatever happens. Mm-hmm. And so by being with people who want to create their vision and get specific about what they want to create, how they want to feel, mm-hmm. you know, what are your desires in your relationship? That's what we unearth and talk about. And it's mm-hmm. wonderful.
So when you're saying a spiritual relationship, I mean, a lot of people, the image that might come to their minds is, well, oh, you sit together and maybe pray together, or maybe you share certain common beliefs together of a metaphysical nature or something. Maybe you believe in God together, or go to church together, or who knows what. But you were talking about having a sense of higher purpose together as a couple. Could you just elaborate, you know, a little bit more as to what you all mean by
yeah.
spiritual relationship? Yeah.
Thank you, Linda. That is an excellent question, because I have a Doctor of Divinity degree, and why I went after that divinity program was because I wanted to express the divine within me, and I wanted to help other people access and unleash the divine within them, getting in touch with that. And when I was going through those studies, I looked up the definition of religion, and what I found was that it's a community who gathered together and shared a set of beliefs and opinions, you know, concerning the existence of nature and universe and human life. And so, you know, along the way, religion became an institution, and that's not what I'm about. And the people that I am joining together with, you know, everybody creates their own spirituality. Here I define spirit as an energy.
Okay.
It comes from the word inspired. And so we actually come together and play, you know, music that we can all relate to, and, you know, just to bring the energy of the room up at the beginning or at the end or during an exercise. But it is not a religious experience. You might have a spiritual awakening. You might awaken your inner spirit and come in with a heavy heart and leave with an open heart. That's my hope.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Well, I think we're getting closer here. Because, again, you know, for a lot of people, the word spiritual can mean different things. And mm-hmm. And there always are people who wonder, well, what do you mean by spiritual anyway? You know, say you have somebody who says, I have a problem with the God concept or even the word God or believing that there is, quote, God. And so they might hear you and think, oh, you're talking about spiritual relationship. Oh, I don't know if I want that. But that's not what you're talking about, is
not at all.
Religion in the usual yeah. sense or anything, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's not in a religious sense, not in... when I first got into my spiritual recovery, which was 21 years ago this month, I did actually get in through a 12-step program, and I was introduced to the concept of God. And I had a real hard time with that. You know, I mm-hmm. had to kind of cross it out and put good until I could cultivate my own awareness of what that meant to me. And that's what I hope everyone will do. And in this sense, we're just talking about everyday events that transpire in our lives. And the spirit is the love. It's as simple as that.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. How would you describe a healthy spiritual relationship in, say, a partnership with your husband, for example? And then that could maybe differ in terms of relationship with your children or with a friend. I'm sure it might take on different coloring in different kinds of relationships. But do you want to describe it a bit more?
Oh, say, sure. Yeah. A healthy spiritual relationship to me, whether it's with my husband or with my good friends, and by the way, all my good friends are involved in higher purpose activities. I just find them the most present and engaged in consciousness and fun. We have a great time together. But there are different elements that are involved, and they change from moment to moment to day to day. You know, for one of the things that we do is to have a purpose, like I said, something that's bigger than ourselves, whether it is raising children or, you know, I have friends who are deep into the green movement, or recovery process, or metaphysical aspects. I personally am huge into the metaphysical process and have been for a couple of decades now. So I really enjoy creating situations and events and watching the manifestation process happen. You know, we call it everyday miracles. You know, miracles are in manifestation all the time, and that's simply a shift in our perception of looking at a situation that might seem impossible, hard, or a struggle. And then, if we have the tools, we can shift through that and see something that we couldn't see before. So, for instance, if I'm having an issue with my husband, and I'm focusing on his character defects and the things that I cannot stand, then, you know, I'm just going to get more of that the more I focus on it. So I really need to shift off of him and onto either a higher purpose or myself or something outside of that. Now, a healthy relationship for me is one where my body feels at peace and alive. If I walk into a room that feels very toxic and draining, and if there's a lot of negativity, that's not a healthy place for me to show up with my intuitive, porous parts of myself. So I need to either, you know, tap into being in healthier situations or learn to plug up some energy leaks that have me find out what is it that I am going to bring to this situation to feel good. I like to feel good in all of my relationships, and that's not always the case. There's pain, there's sadness, there's hurt, there's grief, there's loss. But if I'm with people who are going through similar processes of letting that go through making a decision and focusing on realigning our thoughts and feelings and actions onto what we desire to create today, that's the golden moment for me.
Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, a lot of people would think a spiritual relationship, many would say, would be primarily grounded in love. and that that would be the higher purpose.
Excellent. Well said.
I mean, but could it be something else for somebody else, or they wouldn't necessarily have that emphasis, or is that just, you know, one aspect of it, or how would you kind of fit that in there? Because say,
well, I think that the way you said it, Linda, pardon me if I interrupted, there's a little bit of a background, but the way that you said it, to me, that's the foundation, is the love, and we're always returning to that love, the spirit of the love. And we're living our lives with the energy and commitment to that love. And life is busy. You know, life is consuming it. There's a lot of aspects to it. And so it's returning to that foundation. Yes, that, in essence, is a spiritual relationship. Everything else is just what I choose to add on to it to make it a deeper, richer experience.
Yeah, but you know, when you have, say, a couple, they are attracted, they meet, they fall in love, they develop a relationship, would you say that there's a danger it could suffer from implosion, where it can become a dead end if there isn't yet, as you say, a higher purpose where you direct this love towards, that you have the context of the love for each other, but goes beyond that too, yet something that goes beyond yourselves as individuals and even yourselves as a couple? Is that kind of how you then link in that higher purpose idea?
That's well said. There are a few other elements that I like to add into a successful, healthy, long-term spiritual relationship. And one is space, to create space in the relationship. So there's myself, there's my husband. He has his activities and things that he likes to do for fun, and I have mine. And we create space in the relationship so that we have that desire to come back together. Some people have too much space, some have not enough, so it's definitely a balancing act. But I get filled up when I go and I sit in circles of women and I'm with women, because then the feminine spirit is activated, and that's something that my husband, from his wonderful masculine energy, doesn't have to offer me. So it's not about looking to one person to fulfill all of your needs. It's impossible. So we need to reach out. And so many of us today have purposes that we're so excited about and giving time and energy and commitment to.
Nancy, this
And after three decades together, it's really vital, if you're going to have a really long-term relationship, to recommit to your new desires, your new dreams, and, you know, give birth to new things together. If we don't, then we become bitter. We become bored. And those aren't things that are going to contribute to, you know, bringing life force into your relationship.
Right.
And so I use Art Linkletter as a great guy who I saw at a Peak Potential event a few years ago. He's 90 years old, and he continues to recreate new dreams. So dreaming and getting in touch with desires is key to a successful relationship.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, it's that element of creativity I think you're tapping into here, right? That it's an ongoing creative act, and that, you know, you're always meant to kind of go on being creating new things and going on into new ventures, and have a highly creative life.
Exactly. And when I first met my husband, I didn't realize that I was a creative person. I was completely in the masculine light of work of construction, and I was living off the grid. I was hauling water, chopping wood, building a log home, and, you know, I was dirty most of the time because I lived in the dirt. And in terms of, you know, my hands were dirty, I would bathe and was clean, but I was doing a very masculine job and way of life. And when I realized, when we started building our log home, I said, I'm not creative. And my husband said, sure you are. You just need to, you know, get some magazines and look at what you want and how you want to design a house. And that's when I first started tapping into it. And Linda, today the most miraculous thing is happening to me. And I use that word miracle a lot, and I hope it's not, you know, offensive. However, for me it's just like, wow, it's that aha moment. And one of the things that I'm discovering about myself that I never knew before through recreating new visions and dreams is that I have an innate ability to write. I didn't know that until I hired an editor and said, I'm ready to write my book 5 weeks ago. And we started really deep. I said, I've got the month of August. Let's go for it. And after a couple of weeks, she called me. Well, we have these weekly coaching calls. And she said, you have a gift. an innate gift that you were born with to write.
Because
I didn't have that as a background, and I didn't know it. Had I not been living a life of purpose and recommitting to my dreams and visions, you know, that would have never been born. I would have never known that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want for other people, is to continue tapping into their creative self and their higher self.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you something, Nancy, because from the conversation you have with Linda, there is lots of emphasis on spirituality, on goals, on sharing a path towards something that is bigger and more meaningful than just our individual needs or desires. Where does sexuality fit into that picture?
Oh, good question, Andrew. I think that for each couple, that's a personal decision whether that's going to be an important part of your relationship. And sexuality is an energy, and it moves through us. And I am definitely a sexually active woman, and my husband's a sexually active man. And for me, it's really important, having studied the effects of hormones like oxytocin that's released after making love and having a man ejaculate, that's the bonding hormone for men. And so for women, we have the cuddle, you know, it releases like a cuddling hormone. So we like to cuddle, and men feel that bonding. Although in my experience, my husband's asleep 2 minutes afterwards, and I've timed him, and just, we make a big joke out of it. It's like, you know, don't expect much after making love, because that's the end of it. But these hormones are vital for a connection, if that's what you, and you know, if that's what you want. I work with bioidentical hormones and have studied those a lot too, because, you know, I'm turning 50 this year, and you know, my hormones ebb and flow, and a lot of women's do too, and I see that it's really kind of dampens the energy that two people once shared. And if people think that that's the natural part of aging, that your testosterone levels get, you know, die down or are reduced, and that, and then you just don't have a sexual life, that's a real misconception about the aging process. And so I really suggest people take a look into bioidenticals. They're completely different than the traditional synthetic hormones that, you know, people are really worried about. But it's important to keep your sensuality and sexuality at a peak levels, if that's what you want. Not everybody does. And people who don't, whoops, pardon me, I didn't realize there was a phone in the room.
No.
I apologize.
Commercial break there.
So for other people who might not be interested in having a sexual relationship to deepen their intimacy, that's the key word, deepening your intimacy. Into me you see. Go knee to knee with one another, and really focus on, you know, being with your partner and being present with your partner, and taking the risk to talk about things that are difficult or that you enjoy talking about.
And how would you, what would you advise to couples who are struggling with difference on those in this aspect? Let's say one partner is more interested in exploring intimacy and sexuality, other partner is less interested, but they still want to be in a long-term spiritual loving relationship.
Well, you know, that's a tough one, because, of course, we can't change other people. All we can do is inspire, encourage, risk, and reveal. This is what I call taking a risk after risk after risk. If you're sexually active and you enjoy that, then it's nice to be able to bring that desire to your partner. And if your partner is unreceptive, then you get to become more creative in what you want to do about that through your vision, through sharing your vision, through your desire. Some people end up not staying in their relationship due to a lack or a difference in sexual preferences. And that's where sometimes we really need to say, okay, did we complete our purpose together? Is it time for us to go different ways? But for me, my relationship has deepened my level of insatiable appetite for learning on how to have the best relationship with my husband as we can, because I was raised in divorce, And not that divorce is a negative or bad thing, but as a child I had that defining moment of, no, I really want this for long term. And so as you know, you look at your childhood and your defining moments, and you look at what your parents' characteristics, conditioning, or beliefs were as they were raising you, sometimes we pick up those beliefs and we carry them around. And so some women I know maybe carry an extra sexual abuse issues around that they haven't dealt with, or they may be carrying some of their infidelity issues that were their parents and not theirs, but they've taken that on and they're bringing that into their relationship. So all of those things need to be dealt with. And I'm not saying that's the issue with what you're talking about, Andrew. I'm just saying that's a deeper conversation.
No, it's just obviously it seems that statistically the disproportion of some of the desires, needs, and values are main reasons why people don't stay in long-term relationship. So since our discussion today is how to help couples develop their relationship into more spiritual form of relating to each other and stay in that relationship for as long as possible, I'm just curious how can this work help with issues that are main reasons why relationships don't stay as long as they could otherwise. And another kind of aspect of that question is, you mentioned earlier that one of the aspects is to put emphasis and focus on positive aspects. So instead of thinking of what we're lacking or what our partner is not giving us, is to spend more time and attention on what we are getting. What is the difference between putting our attention on the positive and kind of repressing the reality or not seeing the truth reinforcing maybe some of the behaviors that are not appropriate by just seeing the positive?
Yeah, being in denial, perhaps.
Great question. Pardon me, Linda?
Being in denial, perhaps, you know, of some things, of not really wanting to see the truth of the negatives and being highly optimistic, focusing on the positive, but it's really just being in a lot of denial and not wanting to face things sometimes, right? Yeah.
This is so powerful. We're going into a whole other area because, you know, denial is, of course, the acronym for don't even know I am lying.
I like that.
There comes a point in time when if your body is filled with dis-ease or you are acting out through addictions, sexual addictions, alcoholism, drug addiction, food addiction, whatever, the list of them. If you're reverting to those types of activities, those are all clues that something is amiss in your relationship with yourself and or your partner, what's going on in your life, your job, or whatever. So those are wonderful signals that something's off, and that's where I come back to the body being very connected to our bodies. And as a whole, women are more highly intuitive with their bodies, but there are many men who are getting in touch with their intuition. I call some of these men bridge brains because they have a larger corpus callosum at the base of their brain stem, which allows them to vacillate between their left hemisphere of their masculine and their right hemisphere of their feminine. Women on a whole have a larger corpus callosum, so they tend to do that more naturally. Some women are deeply feminine and are not as active as a man. I call ego, you know, ego stands for edging God out or edging good out, but I call ego energy going out, because if we have a deeply feminine person who is not in touch with what she wants in the world or can't respect her partner's desire or drive to go out in the world and to get things done and to accomplish, and she just wants to bask in the beingness of life all the time, which I love to do. I could live there. But nothing would get done. And so this frustrates some men. And for some men, on the opposite end of that spectrum is some men who, or the women with masculine characteristics who are very corporate driven, are out in the world all the time giving their energy and not bringing anything back into the home. Who's tending to the heart of the relationship and nurturing it and preparing, you know, the whole foods? There's so much ink about today. So back to your initial statement about what is causing these relationships and the breakdown of the relationships. From what I've seen and studied and experienced in my own, is that people aren't doing a good job interviewing before going into a relationship. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in those hormones and those feelings of love and euphoria, and we get together and we set the date, and so many people fall in love with the idea of the wedding, and they really don't have a deep appreciation and understanding of what this really means on so many different levels, on a spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, financial mm-hmm. level. And all of those things come up in life and make crazy people out of two people who were once engaged in a love affair mm-hmm. of creating their future and dreams and desires, and it can be a catastrophe. Mm-hmm.
But interviewing your future partner sounds almost like a business deal.
Well, it is a business deal in a lot of ways. I mean, there's the spiritual aspect, but there's the business part too, because most marriages, you know, those are the ones that are tracked and statistics, split up over financial issues, because nobody sat down and said, okay, this is how we're going to take care of money. I mean, is that an easy conversation to have? It wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's so much to think about in preparing and planning mm-hmm. and watching your partner. How do they show up emotionally? What is their family history and background? Mm-hmm. You know, how do their children treat them, and how do they treat their parents? You can get great clues by doing a good interviewing process. And it's not to be like, you know, here's your checklist. You know, I see women roll
out
goals and essentials for men, and it's
that's
like,
right.
My goodness.
Sorry, you didn't pass the exam.
Who are you looking for?
Next.
I'm sorry, Andrew, what?
You can tell your partner, okay, you didn't pass the exam. You only answered 300 out of 500 questions properly. Next, please. Well, I think it's a time to play some romantic, loving music as a break, and we're going to come back to our conversation and maybe go over other issues related to when we are initially engaged, initially in love, not necessarily loving each other yet, because it's more attraction-driven, hormone-driven kind of a relationship. How can we later, even if we haven't done the interview process and the checklist, how can we still ignite love and turn this attraction into long-term spiritual relationship? Let's come back to that question in about 2-3 minutes. Can you stay on hold for us?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Different life. She believes you're the family aberration. She doesn't understand your fight. I don't know you, but I feel we're just the same. And when I look into your hurting eyes, I feel my shame. I can't imagine the life you live, but is it for me to think what I think? Is it for me to be looking behind the veil? I can see how confusing it would be. You want justification, why the changes? Forsaken if you act out independently. I don't know you, but I see you in the flame. And when I look into your burning eyes, I need someone to blame. I can't imagine the life you live, but is it for me to think what I think? Is it for me to be looking behind the veil? To be looking behind the veil.
You're listening to 102.7 FM Conscious Living Radio. My name is Andrew Resmer, and we're talking about...
Yeah, this is Linda Christensen here. We're talking with Nancy Kerner on long-term spiritual relationships. And she just lives over the border in Washington, and she's coming up to Vancouver next week, Tuesday night, August 25th at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., giving, it sounds like, an extraordinary evening here at the Rosemary Heights Retreat Center in South Surrey, 3690 152nd Street, South Surrey. We have the info on our website if you want to check it out at consciouslivingradio.org, and you can get the details there. And Nancy has been she's created a holistic counseling practice for women, conducted many retreats for women on how to live in power, the Enlightened Women's Retreat, Pleasure in Paradise Retreat, also mentoring women in leadership, many, many things. And we've been discussing the nature of long-term spiritual relationships. And she has lived it and is living it, having been married for 31 years and having a wonderful relationship with her husband. Nancy, you're still here with us?
I am. Thank you, Linda.
Great, great. Now, Andrew had just put forth a question. Andrew, do you want to just reword that again?
Yes, I was curious how, if we're in existing relationship and we haven't done those steps that you indicated would be important steps to do prior to starting a relationship, like an interview process or finding similar goals or passions or direction that we want to go together towards something. If we are in existing relationship, and how can we inspire this relationship to become long-term spiritual loving?
Excellent question, Andrew. Well, I think that we need to look at what acts of services or romantic expression or words of encouragement or whatever it is that each person brings to their beloved. You know, one of the things that I say is that if you want to receive love from your relationship, then bring love to the relationship. Because when you're giving something, you can receive more of it back if you're not tied into the expectation of, you know, I want an act of, I'll use a gift on birthdays, for example, because this one I see women go crazy over. when their beloved doesn't remember or doesn't show up with a gift. They're very much tied into, why didn't you get me that? And oftentimes a man will say, well, here's $50, go shopping. And she'll go, no, rise up and, you know, bring me something better. And for so many people, that's such a setup, because sure, it can stretch some people, and that could work, but you've got to look at what this person's gift is and the way that they express and show their love. My husband, for example, is a man who needs to be in purpose. Otherwise, his mind frick, which, you know, the mm-hmm. mental mind game, can go into action and create all kinds of problems. And so I bring him purpose oftentimes in our lives, by whether it's, you know, co-building a house, or, for instance, I just had a retreat in Orcas Island, and I gave him purpose by letting him know what I might need. You know, I'm not a nag. I don't say, you know, here's my scroll of things for you to do. But if I say, I don't know how I'm going to get this part done, then he will step up and say, well, what is it that you need exactly? And so clear communication about what we need is the best act of, you know, communication that can bring more love into the relationship. Mm-hmm. And again, finding out what turns you on in terms of opening your heart and making your body feel good. My husband and I are very blessed that we both enjoy spending time in nature and hiking in the lakes and riding bikes. And so that's where we like to go to connect with each other and with our highest self, and to release whatever energies that we need to, that we've carried on from work or relationships. Mm-hmm. And so find out what it is. How does your partner express their love to you? Watch them. You know, watch for clues. Is it emptying the dishwasher before you come home? You know, is it leaving a note on the bed? Or, you know, they're a little unsettled. And sometimes we need to invoke it, because we get carried away in busy life. And we might say, as a woman, I would say to my husband, I think we need a night out to have some dinner and communication. I'm feeling that our relationship needs a little bit of intimacy. And he'll mm-hmm. go, oh, okay. Because I don't ask for that every day. I don't demand it. I notice when we're feeling a little separation. So somebody mm-hmm. is the relationship, the holder and the keeper of the relationship. It's not necessarily the woman all the time, because a lot of us women are very corporate-driven now, and we're very much in the taskmaster left brain, and we're oftentimes not in tune with what our partner is needing. So whether you're a man or a woman in a gay, straight, or whatever relationship, you know, somebody needs to take the first step and say, I'm feeling some separation. I'm not feeling the love here.
And what is love? How do you define love? What do you say to someone who says, well, I don't love him or her anymore?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, if I could answer that, I think that'd be the million-dollar question. I can't answer what love is. All I can tell you is, you know, for me, what it is. And that's there's so many layers and levels to it. But just being in the present moment, sitting with somebody, you know, in contemplation or reflection upon each other, I mean, that can be love, just a mutual respect. I can have it anywhere with anything or anyone. It's an inner transmission of energy from my heart that goes out, that I'm mm-hmm. connected with something or someone.
Mm. So love is something you can give, not something you can receive.
Well, you have to receive it,
giving
too.
Giving and receiving, yeah. Both. Very, very important. If somebody's doing all the giving, ooh, not good. Imbalance.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't work.
But the way you defined it was energy coming out from inside, going out.
Well, and it can be drawn in, you know, the centrifugal energy, like from the universal energy, you know, mm-hmm. you standing here in complete mm-hmm. energy and yeah. vibration with the universe. Yeah. And just meditation, you know, you can feel it anywhere. Yes. People who are conscious, like in your program. Mm-hmm.
That heart-to-heart connection. And if there's that heart-to-heart connection, there's the giving and the receiving. It's an exchange. You know, there's an exchange happening. And you know, there needs to be that open-heartedness on both parts to really engage, give, and receive. So it's a mutual exchange happening, huh?
Well said. And with our lifestyles, oftentimes, you know, we close our hearts and we're going through our days mm-hmm. without any kind of a connection. So one of the tools that mm-hmm. we use is when your beloved comes through the door, or when you see your beloved, how do you greet them? And I'll show the people who show up on Tuesday what the full body wag looks like, if you haven't seen that. But we can shift the energy by, you know, making a decision to leave our stress at work before coming home and bringing all that in, if we can, and to create that sacred space for our relationship. Mm-hmm. It's a practice, and it's not easy, and we're humans, and we fall short. But it's about returning to the practice. Mm-hmm. How can I show up and be present? Do I kiss you? Do I wrap my arms around you when, you know, my beloved walks into the door? And do we take that just a couple of minutes to, you know, touch lips or to hug, you know, that connection? It can just be brief, but it's amazing the profound difference it can make, mm-hmm. in setting the tone for the course of the evening.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that, you know, for a relationship to work, I mean, the key thing is that you have to have two people who are really willing and wanting to show up, be present, and connect with a full and open heart. If one partner isn't, you know, willing to do that, I mean, it's almost as though you're hitting your head against a brick wall.
And that doesn't feel good. Someone once said to me, Nancy, you know what the great news about hitting your head against a wall is? And I said, what? And they said, when you stop, it doesn't hurt anymore.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And there is, you know, relationships, the truth is that there are a lot of relationships in a lot of pain. And I prefer to have reciprocal giving and receiving exchanges of love. Now, how do we measure that? Well, if you're standing there with your yardstick measuring 50-50, you're going to lose, because mm-hmm. it's not measurable. It's mm-hmm. it's just a noticing, am I feeling depleted? Do I need my love cup filled back up, as my mm-hmm. partner Myra Merkel says? And so it's a dance. It's not black mm-hmm. and white. There isn't a formula for it. If you're very analytical and looking for one, well, good luck, because I really believe that relationships a dance of ebb and flow and going with the flow and you know, being spontaneous in the moment too. And some relationships, I know women who actually do all the relationship work, and they keep their marriages together, and they say that they're completely happy as long as he does the job and the providing and brings home, you know, he goes to work, he provides the food for her and her children and her family, and she's completely happy. For other women, that wouldn't work. They, you know, so it just depends mm-hmm. on who you are.
Yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, as you say, creating this type of relationship is a job, is a process, is a journey, and you're inviting people to learn some tools that may help on that journey. You're coming in just a few days. I want to talk a little bit about the workshop that you're going to be offering in our community, and more maybe a little bit example specifically what you're going to be teaching and how is that workshop going to look like.
Excellent. Well, Andrew, as you had said before, how can somebody who isn't at the interviewing process you know, rekindle their relationship or, you know, breathe some life back into it? So what we're going to do is we're going to create a vision for our relationships, whether you're married or single, whether you're divorced or widowed, whether you want to be in one or are in one, and we'll create a vision for that relationship. You know, we were married for 15 years before my husband realized he was actually in a relationship. He came home one day and said, oh, my goodness. He said, Joe is having such a hard time in his relationship. I'm so glad I'm not in a relationship.
Are
and
you
I
kidding?
Just laughed.
You're kidding.
And later in some of my relationship training seminars that I attended, I heard that, you know, a lot of men look at the concept and the term relationship as foreign, hostile territory. So it made sense to me then that he might have blocked that part out, that he was actually in one.
Well, I'm 30 years later, he's already, I think, educated enough by you in that aspect.
Pardon me, I didn't understand what you said.
I said that 30 years later, he knows that he is in relationship with you.
Oh, he knows it now. And one of our friends who we ride bikes with said, Manson, I think he asked me, he said, Nancy, how come you're still with Manson after all these years? And I said, you know what? Because he's willing to keep growing and expanding himself. You know, he always doesn't feel like he can keep up with me and where I'm going, mm-hmm. but he likes to show up to the best of his ability, and he likes to move forward. Mm-hmm. You talked earlier about some of the issues that people might have or couples might have, and mm-hmm. one of the challenges in our relationship has been, in the process of recovery, depression has popped up. as one of the things that my husband struggled with and had to deal with. And, you know, we've had some losses, and those losses really affected him. And so we've had to continue to grow and evolve and expand through those, and not everyone can do that. You know, those tough times in life can be the points where you say, that's it, I've had enough, I'm jumping off, that's it. Mm. And so when I feel that when we go through those grieving points or losses and get through those, we become stronger in our intimacy, in our relationship, because as we grow older, we really need a compassionate heart to be with each other through the aging process. And we like to have fun.
And wouldn't you say that's one of the key things that can make a relationship work, is that both parties are totally willing to grow and evolve, change, you know, are really open to that, to allow then for, you know, for things, for the relationship then to continue and to grow? Because it seems to me, from what I've seen and experienced, is, you know, when one person just puts up a wall and says, nope, that's it, They don't want to grow. There's no desire for change. Kind of a shutdown at that point, and that's a key factor in potentially terminating that relationship.
It is, and change is such a scary word for so many people. Mm. It's, you know, that word right there. You know, it's like, I don't want to change. It's fear is at the root of all of this, of course.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And
yeah.
So we say face everything and recover. And if we could take that risk from being terrified and scared out of our minds and step into, you know, two people facing each other, talking about what you want today and what you want, what you desire to have in your relationship, then the growth is phenomenal. And if you can't do that, you know, my heart goes out to you. And, you know, until a person's ready to take that step, you know, it's totally in their court. You know, we want power with people, not power over. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the attraction to one another is, you know, do we share similar spiritual beliefs or growing beliefs?
Or values that you commit to growth and stuff like that, yeah.
And commitment is key. That word right there, commitment, is the glue that keeps relationships together. Because when we have trouble, we go into fight or flight oftentimes. And so, you know, is somebody going to, you know, are we going to, if we feel like we really need to fly away from the situation and get away from it, you know, do we have the commitment to come back after we've, you know, had some time to yell, scream, breathe, or we'll do whatever we need to do? And believe me, we do it all. I've done it all. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times when I need to release energy in a big way, and that's why I create the lifestyle that I do, so that I can continue to process my emotions and feelings. And that's my hope for everyone, is that we can, you know, have places. And I love that about your radio station, is that you have people who are creating places and spaces for that deep inner work to transformation.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's the whole concept of community, where it's sharing and supporting each other on the path that we decided to go with our partner and with other people who share the same value system. So I understand that this time it's the workshop that you're offering is for both men and women. And are you encouraging partners to come together?
Absolutely, and I'd like to back up, because you used another key word that is glue for a healthy relationship, and that's community. We are often way too isolated and not able to learn and grow by watching other people who've, you know, maybe gone down the road before us, ahead of us, and been through some hard times and can share their wisdom with us, and also the energy of a community where men can see how, you know, they show up with one another. And yes, we want couples to come. We want men to come on their own, women to come on their own. If you've been through a divorce or been widowed, we have all of these people in our community. If you want to create a new relationship, you know, get clear on what it is that you want. And we'll talk about, you know, being the kind of person who can attract what it is that you say. You know, what do you desire to attract to yourself, and are you that kind of a person? Because usually that's what we're looking for, somebody who has something we don't have. unconsciously to make up for that missing part. So what we want to do is cultivate healthy people who attract healthy people.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. And again, a reminder for those listeners who just tuned in, we are talking to Nancy Kerner, who is going to be coming to Vancouver area, actually exactly South Surrey, next Tuesday, August 25th, with a workshop for couples and people who want to be in relationship or people who are interested in conversation about long-term spiritual loving relationship. And more information can be found on our webpage, which is www.consciousLivingRadio.org, as well as on the webpage by Karen McGregor, divineyou.ca. Well, thank you so much, Nancy.
Yes, thank you,
pleasure.
Nancy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And for our guests, for our listeners also, there's another announcement. This Thursday, that's tomorrow actually, we want to invite everybody who is interested in discussion or conversation, information about supporting youth, teenagers, in creating a proper, healthy rite of passage for them. This evening is organized by Teen Journey, by a team of volunteers who are working on creating a one-year program that includes a summer camp for teenagers. This entire event is free of charge tomorrow at Unity of Vancouver, which is on Oak and 43rd, starts at 7 o'clock. In the evening. So again, more information can be found on consciouslivingradio.org. And that's how we came to the end of the show. If you liked the conversation about love and relationship, we're inviting you back next week, where we're going to continue this topic. This time it's going to be an open phone. We're going to invite two experts, two relationship counselors, who are going to be answering your calls. So if you have any burning question, how to make your relationship more loving, more sexy, more interesting, more passionate, or more spiritual, make sure to tune in next week, Wednesday, from 6 to 7 to 102.7 FM. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio, a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, the emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect a commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation. Tune in every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. to Co-op Radio, 102.7 FM. For information about our past and future programming and free downloads of shows, go to consciouslivingradio.org.
Cause just around the corner, they're sure they'll find the perfect romance. Caught up in the dance, leaving broken hearts behind. I left the rest of the world, go searching for some. People say, what's happened to you? Or tell me, what's your secret? I smile and say, nothing's new. Oh, nothing's new. Lying here beside you, it's feeling like the very first time. You're reading my mind when I look. Something new, while I I've never felt this before. I wanna be yours.